Turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 15 this morning as we continue our series, Crucified, Glorified. Crucified, Glorified. Mark chapter 15. And this morning, we want to talk about pain and victory. Pain and victory. Mark chapter 15, beginning in the 15th verse. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, into the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. So by the way, this is after he had already been flogged. So be one thing if they took a full-grown, healthy man and they put this kind of, but he had just been flogged, and as you know, flogging could take people to the very edge of death, if not kill them. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. That's a quick summary, isn't it? They crucified him. They put nails in his body. They nailed him to a tree. They stretched him out in a way that only the Romans knew how to do so that it would prolong the suffering for as long as possible and eventually end in their death as the victim suffocated. A certain man, they crucified him, divided him up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Pain and victory. Pain. We've all experienced it. From the bodily pain of arthritis that makes simple chores difficult, to the emotional pain of rejection that causes us to pause before we send a text or make a phone call. Pain pervades our lives. But let's pause for a moment and consider how pain works. On the one hand, pain can distract us. Think about how pain can distract us. came out and worked yesterday, you probably felt a little bit of pain in your back or your legs, or scratched up your arms on the cat claw and the thorns that were out there. Jeff is at his son's basketball game. They've been working on his son's dribbling. Jeff promised his son that he would watch and give him some tips after the game, but it's hard to concentrate. Jeff has been having issues with his lower back. Right now, it feels like somebody is taking an ice pick and digging it into his side. He can't get comfortable on the bleachers, and he certainly can't pay attention to his son's game. Pain has a way of distracting us from the task at hand. How many can say you know what that's like? Come on, lift your hand. Pretty much every hand in this place is going to go out. You know what it's like to feel and suffer pain. Physical, emotional. On the other hand, pain can focus our attention. She never would have known about the support group if the pain hadn't become too hard to bear. Manny passed away suddenly. One minute he was in the kitchen getting burgers ready for the grill, and the next minute he was lying on the deck as they called 911 and tried CPR. He didn't have a chance, the doctor said. A massive brain aneurysm. She had driven by the church for months and seen the sign for a grief support group that meets on Thursdays. She had never paid attention before. After Manny's death, however, she saw it, and she went. Her friends couldn't believe it. Her? In a church? She couldn't believe it herself. But she was desperate, and she knew she couldn't go on. That's how bad her pain was. See, pain, not only can it distract us, it can help focus our attention. It causes us to focus so that we see things that we've never seen before and find help when help is needed. So pain can do two things. It can distract us, or it can focus our attention. The question for us today is, what happens with our spiritual pain? Does it distract you from the task at hand, or does it focus your attention on something good? Now, we've been, for the last several weeks, reading along together, many of you in the Crucified, Glorified Prayer Journal. Last week's readings told the story of Jesus being crucified. First, he was tried by Pilate, then sent to Herod, then brought back to Pilate and handed over for the crucifixion. So when Mark records the crucifixion of Jesus, he offers us a glimpse into the power of pain. Just a glimpse. So let's begin by considering how pain distracts. Crucifixion. We already talked about it a little bit this morning. It was a painful ordeal. Beaten, stripped, bleeding, Jesus hung there to die. He wouldn't die from loss of blood, he would die from loss of air. With his arms stretched out, he would reach a point when he could no longer have the strength to raise up his chest to breathe. Put him in such a way that it stretched out his arms, and because he was, all his weight was hanging on this, it causes you not to be able to raise up and fill your lungs with air. That's why they put nails in his feet as well, because they knew that the urge to push up so that you could get a breath and relax those muscles for just a minute. So they would push up on those nails just to get a breath, but the excruciating pain from the nails in the feet and the nerves that it was hitting then would cause them to begin to convulse and immediately drop back down. And on this would go. His own weight and weakness would suffocate him. And people would walk by and watch as Jesus hung there in misery. Mark tells us that people who were passing by began mocking Jesus. They looked at Jesus hanging there in pain and they laughed at him. Some remembered how Jesus said he would tear down the temple and raise it again in 3 days. What a joke. Save yourself and come down from the cross, they said. The pain of crucifixion distracted these people from what was going on. To these people, the very fact that Jesus was suffering on the cross meant that he didn't have the power to save or do any of the things he said he would do. It wasn't only those who passed by who were distracted by Jesus' pain. The religious leaders themselves saw the pain and made a conclusion. This was proof that Jesus was not the Messiah. He saved others. He cannot save himself, they said. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. How many think that the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross wasn't only physical? When Jesus was crucified, the pain of crucifixion and the shame of dying on a cross distracted people from God and from what God was doing in the midst of all this pain. See, God was there. God was active. God was doing something. And it's easy for us to be distracted by pain. It could be the pain of others that distracts you. Or it could be the pain that you are experiencing yourself. So here's something that we need to know. Pain can distract us from the ways of God. In fact, pain can make us wonder, where is God? How about the Apostle Paul? The Bible tells us that he had a thorn in the flesh, right? Paul doesn't tell us what it was, but he does tell us it was painful. It was, in his words, a messenger of Satan, and it harassed him. It beat him up. 3 times he called out to God to remove it, and God never took it away. Imagine the distress. Here was a man who had seen Jesus in a vision. He had been delivered from his enemies. He had made it through the storms and through beatings and through riots in the cities. But now he comes before God with pain and he cries for relief. And nothing happens. This pain could very well have distracted the Apostle Paul. Now you and I both know that pain like that didn't stop with the Apostle Paul. It continues even today. And it still has the power to distract you from God. Have you ever considered the fact that when people walk away from God, that the first step in that journey often involves pain of some kind? Let me tell you a couple stories. How about Ron? Not our Ron. Ron left his faith when he walked out of the children's hospital for the last time. He went to the parking garage and he cried. He had been going to the hospital, visiting his son, and coming to the car and praying each time he went home. This time, however, there was no need to pray. His child was dead, and for Ron, so was God. How about Amanda? Amanda left her faith when she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. She had 3 children, 2 with autism. Now, this hits home, as we just heard a story in the news this week. How many heard the story right here in Tucson of 2 little 8-year-old kids, twins, who had autism and who were shot and killed by their own grandmother? See, the pain of her situation caused her to react. Now we have 2 dead children. So this was Amanda. 2 children with autism, another child. She had recently gone through a divorce. She was estranged from her parents, estranged from her spouse, and now it was like she was estranged from her own body. She didn't want to face this degenerative disease alone, but the pain of the divorce, the pain of the diagnosis, the pain of a future filled with steroids and flare-ups distracted her. She turned away from God. And I'm sure you have stories out there too. Friends, family members, who because of situations in their life, they got distracted from their faith and they turned away from God. All of us have pain in our lives. All of us. Our pains are different. They're unique. But they all have a potential, listen to me, a potential to be a tool of Satan. Satan uses pain to beat us up, to make us suffer, to make us angry, depressed, isolated, despairing. But even more, Satan always uses pain to try to distract us from God. His ultimate goal, our giving up on God and walking away. So the first thing I want to do this morning is talk about four ways that pain distracts us. I just want to go through these. Number one, pain distracts us by causing us to question God's existence, love, presence, and plans. And I didn't want to make this four different points, so just pay attention for a moment to what's up on the screen. This is what pain does. The pain comes, it distracts us because we begin to question, God, are you there? Do you even exist? Because how could something like this go on or continue to go on? God, we question his love. All right, it's not going to distract me to the point that I say, God, you don't exist, but I'm questioning how much you love me right now. And sometimes it's other people's pain. Other people's pain can distract us. We get looking at other people in other situations and we begin to say, how could God be a loving God? That's why there's so many people out there that say they don't want to become Christians. Because they throw up some painful circumstance into their excuse column and they say, God, that couldn't be, I would never serve your God because he couldn't possibly love because look at this pain. We question God's presence. Okay, God, you exist, and I do believe that you love me, but I sure don't feel you close to me. Anybody ever been there? God, you feel like you're a million miles away right now. And the pain distracts us as it causes us to raise these questions. How about God's plans? Sometimes pain comes into our lives and all of a sudden, all of the plans that we thought we had, that we thought God had for our lives, get completely changed. Can I ask you honestly for a minute? You don't have to raise your hand, but has anybody had to completely change your life because of pain? I know some have. What you used to be able to do, you can't do. What you had planned for that savings, suddenly you can't use that savings on because it's going to pay for medical bills or lawyer bills or funeral bills. And we begin to question, God, I thought you had plans for my life. Because we love to quote verses like the one in Jeremiah that says that God has a future and a hope for us. We quote it at graduations. We quote it at special times. Almost every young person in a youth group somewhere has used that verse for their life verse at some point. You know, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for a future and a hope. And suddenly we began, because of pain, to question that theology. God, do you really have a plan for me? That's the distraction of pain. Number two, pain distracts us by causing us to question our own worth and righteousness. Not only does it call into question the existence and love and presence and plan of God, but we begin to look at ourselves and say things like, well, I must have done something wrong. Or I must not be praying right. Or, I've heard this. God is judging me. He knows the sins that I did in my youth or that I did last week. And he's judging me. I can't be healed because God has to let me pay the price for the choices that I've made. That's the distraction of pain. Saying that you're not worthy and you're not righteous enough. But don't forget, our worth and our righteousness is not based upon what we do. It's based upon what he has done for us. You are worthy because he counts you worthy. Because his son Jesus was worthy and died on a cross for you and gave you this gift of righteousness that was his as he took your sin upon himself. But pain causes us to question our worth and our righteousness. And some people will live with the traumatic effects of pain in their lives here in this area for years and years and years. Asking questions like, what did I do? What could I have done? What should I have done? Number three, pain distracts us by suggesting that it's not worth it to follow God. Pain gets to the point where we just need to say, hey, I've been following Jesus. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been going to church. I feel like I've been getting my life right with God. And yet here is this onslaught of pain. Maybe it's just, what's the point? Why go through all of that if I'm going to have pain anyway? Come on. Am I talking truth this morning or not? Tell me the enemy hasn't run these thoughts through your head at least once in your life. What's the point? You know, I could just as easily stay home. I could just as easily watch TV rather than spend time in prayer. And the pain distracts us. Number four, pain distracts us by encouraging us to give up. To just give up. Give up our faith. Give up our hope. Give up trying to find a solution. And eventually, pain has distracted some people as a tool of the enemy to give up their own lives. Well, you just don't understand the pain that I'm in. You just don't understand the turmoil that's going on in my heart. It would be better if I were dead. And we have people committing suicide at alarming rates. We have young people committing suicide at alarming rates because pain comes into their lives and it tells them, give up. That's why Mark's account of the crucifixion is so important. Because at the crucifixion, we see one man who did not give up and walk away. Jesus. Jesus endured the pain and used it to focus his attention on what he was doing, bringing about the victory of God. And I want you to think about that statement for a moment. Jesus didn't walk away from the pain. Jesus embraced the pain. He went through the pain because he knew that on the other side of it was the victory of God. When the soldiers brought Jesus to Golgotha, they laid him on the ground to nail him to the cross. Mark tells us that they offered Jesus, we read it, wine mixed with myrrh, but then it says he didn't take it. Right? This was a merciful act. Because crucifixion was so painful, the soldiers offered wine mixed with spices. It wouldn't obliterate the pain, but it might make it a bit easier to bear. And so they offered it to him, but Jesus refused. Now, I'm reading through that, and I'm thinking, my goodness, isn't that what the world does with pain today? Before you hit the pain or as you're entering it or when you've been going through it for a long time, we look for a way to numb the pain. Right? Now, here's the thing that the enemy never tells you. You can take that drink if you want to. I'm comparing it to the drink that they offered Jesus. But it will never completely obliterate the pain. How many know what I'm talking about? It might numb it for a while. It might take your mind off it for a moment. But the pain is still there. Had Jesus taken that drink, listen to me, it wouldn't have changed the fact that he was being crucified. And when you go after something else to numb the pain, it doesn't change the fact that pain is still there in your life. And most of the time, the thing that you do or take to numb the pain ends up causing you more pain. He refused. Jesus would not be distracted. He would face the pain and endure it for you. See, pain didn't distract Jesus in the crucifixion. Pain focused his attention on the work of God that would bring victory over pain. You got to think about this for a minute. When Jesus died, John was standing there at the foot of the cross. He tells us what he saw. At the very end, Jesus knew it was all finished. He had endured the pain of the crucifixion. He had endured the pain of divine punishment for sin. He'd endured the pain of abandonment from God. When all this was over, he cried out, "I thirst." And he was given a sip of sour wine. Jesus wanted this wine not to dull the pain. One author says, but to wet his lips so that he could declare his victory. He cried out, "It is finished." It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he died. See, pain didn't distract Jesus. Instead, it focused his attention on the work of God. Jesus would fight against Satan and bear every one of Satan's afflictions. Jesus would take every thorn in the world and wear it as a crown. He would experience the eternal punishment of sin, drink every last drop of God's cup of wrath so that there is nothing left for you. Jesus triumphs over pain by enduring it for us. His pain is his triumph, the victory of God. And so now there's nothing Satan can ever do to him or to his people to separate them from God. There's no wrath or punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. All of Satan's weapons are destroyed. All of God's wrath is endured. And Jesus now reigns as our victor over pain. But that doesn't stop Satan from coming in and trying to distract you with the pain that you face in your life. Paul knew this. He knew it personally. When he cried out to God because of the thorn in his flesh, God answered him and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And that's not all he said. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." See, God made his power known not by taking away Paul's pain, but by coming to be with him in the midst of it. And by demonstrating his power in the midst of that pain. What was happening on the cross? It was a demonstration of the power of God in the midst of pain. Satan was looking at it. Others were looking at it and saying, "See, you're not the Messiah. See, where's God?" But God was demonstrating his immense power through the pain that Jesus was going through. That even through all of this pain, God brought victory. Hear me. God didn't bring victory by taking his son off the cross. God brought victory by allowing his son to die for us on the cross. Does that make sense? God would use this pain for his purposes. For this reason, Paul boasts in his weaknesses. He says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do I have that verse up there? When I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul knew the power of Christ. He has taken the thorns of this world and turned them into a crown of victory. In the midst of pain, Paul knew the victory of God. He knew that God's grace is sufficient for you. Do you believe that this morning? So, what do you do with the pain? Well, we all have pain. But most of the times, we don't talk about the pain in our lives. Oh, sometimes a little bit. Yeah, my knee's hurting. Oh, my arthritis is acting up. But that's just surface stuff, isn't it? I'm talking about the pain that's deep down in our hearts. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about the stuff that keeps us up at night. We don't talk about the stuff that keeps us sad, makes us feel depressed, continues to hurt us. We don't talk about it. We try to be a good American and tough it out. In fact, we tend to tell our kids that, right? When they fall, they bruise their knee, they start crying. Oh, you're okay. Toughen up, buttercup. We try to tough it out. We think that Christians shouldn't have pain. And that's dangerous. Because when we don't talk about the pain in our lives, we lose sight of its significance. Its power is not to be underestimated. Satan can use pain to lead us away from God. He can use it to distract us, to cause us to question whether God exists or whether God cares about us. But Paul offers a different way. This different way does not ignore the pain. It doesn't say it doesn't hurt. Paul cries out in pain to God. See, that's where he found his answer. And we don't know if that my grace is sufficient for you means that the pain went away or that God brought him back to a place of focus in spite of the pain. I don't know. But what I do know is that God's grace is sufficient. And what I do know is that when we're in pain, we need to be crying out to God. We need to be talking about our pain with God. We need to be saying, God, I know that you endured pain on the cross so that my pain could be healed. And so we tell God about our pain. You try to keep it inside. You try to ignore it or say, hey, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be bothered by this stuff. Listen, Satan is going to eat you for lunch. And he will begin distracting you slowly but surely as he takes you through those steps of distraction that we talked about earlier until you're ready to give up. So cry out to God. Cry out to God in your pain so that God can bring an answer to your spirit. He brought an answer to Paul. My grace is sufficient. Sometimes I like to hear that as, I got this, Paul. I've got you covered. You've been struggling. You've been hurting. You've been questioning. You've been wondering. I've got you. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul cries out to God in pain. And not only that, but Paul obviously wasn't afraid to talk about his pain with others. He wrote about his pain, shared it with the churches. Again, not in a way, a prideful way, hey, saying, this is what I've endured for Jesus, but I think he was just sharing what his life was. His life had pain. I mean, honestly, folks, honestly, do you believe that those times that he was stoned and left for dead didn't hurt? Do you? Anybody ever been hit with a rock? Just one rock. It doesn't feel very good. Imagine being stoned with lots of rocks. Was there a miraculous covering of God? Yes, there was. But it doesn't tell us that he put a shield around Paul and all those rocks bounced off. Because otherwise, why would it say that he was left for dead? Anybody think that the fangs from that snake that jumped out of the fire and bit him on the hand didn't hurt? He shook it off. God protected him or healed him from the poison. It didn't cause him to be sick or die. But my point is, we're all going to face pain in our lives. And Paul talks about that pain with others. And I believe that you should too. You know, that's one of the reasons this isn't the only thing we're talking about. I believe a grief class, how do I handle grief? I think it's important because it's teaching us how do I deal with pain. You know, I believe healing a wounded heart and dealing with trauma is important because it's teaching us how do I deal with pain. And one of the ways, it's not the only way, but one of the ways that we deal with it is to talk to others. We cry out to God and we talk to others. That's why God has given you a church family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, not just here in Tucson, but around the world, to share and to talk with. And sometimes we're talking about testimonies, and other times we're sharing our pain. Paul models for us how we can share our pain with one another. But he also teaches us that we need to trust God in the midst of pain. He knows that God is in control, right? Do you? Why? Because Jesus has entered our pain. He has suffered under it, and he has defeated it by rising from the dead. Jesus brings us victory over pain. Every thorn that you bear is known by Jesus. Every pain you experience has already been in his hand. Satan's claim on you is finished. Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. He's defeated. He can't conquer you with pain because Jesus is a victor over pain. He promises to be with you in the midst of it, and he will bring you closer to God and closer to one another as you suffer in this world. That's why I'm telling you, friends, some of our brothers and sisters in other countries where persecution is much more violent, physical, seem to be so much closer to God and closer to each other than we are here in an American church. Because they have no one except God to cry out to in their pain. And yet God shows them that he is the victor over that pain. Think about how God worked through the pain in Paul. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he shared his pain. This drew God's people closer to Paul and closer to God. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Is it up there? Thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, Paul doesn't promise in this verse that you're never going to have pain. What he promises is that in the midst of pain, God is the God of all comfort. And that God is going to use that pain to do two things. To draw you closer to God so that you can experience the comfort and the healing of God. And to draw you closer to others so that you can express that same comfort to other people who are in pain. See, the Bible tells us that one of the reasons Jesus is a faithful high priest is because he suffered and he knows and he's been tempted. And so when he stands there in place, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what you feel. He knows what you experience. He knows what you're going through. So let me close out with these thoughts then. Rather than distract us, pain directs us. And here's how pain should direct us. You make the choice this morning. Pain is either going to distract you or it can direct you. Number one, pain directs us to focus our attention on Jesus. When pain comes, don't be distracted by the pain and question the existence of God, but focus your attention on Jesus. What am I talking about? I'm talking about getting alone with God. I'm talking about turning to a scripture like in Mark chapter 15 and reading about his pain on the cross again. If you're going through pain, read about the pain he went through. But focus your attention on Jesus, who the Bible says is the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't just begin this journey with us. He will finish this journey with us. Put your eyes upon him. Let pain direct you to focus your attention on Jesus. Number two, pain directs us to remember his victory over Satan. I love this part. Anytime pain comes into your life, look to Jesus and then remember that he completely destroyed Satan. Say, how does that help me? Then come back into your own situation and say, Satan, you haven't got a chance. Think about this for a minute. You threw the best you had at Jesus. And you lost. So whatever you got for me, can't even begin to compare. I am already a winner in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you speak to that pain. And you remind that pain, you're defeated. You have no hold on me. You have no authority to even be in my life. Because Jesus defeated you on the cross. Number three, pain directs us to believe in his promise to be with us. So when I have to suffer pain in some way, shape, or form, I am going to believe more than ever before that God, you are right here with me. You're here with me. And you know what? I've said it before, but let me say it one more time. Do you know why he's there? Do you know why he's there? He's not there just to look at you and smile. And say, come on, keep trudging through. You can do this. You'll make it. He doesn't do what we tend to do. Look at somebody in pain and say, oh, I'm so sorry. That's not what Jesus does. Do you know why he's there? Anybody? He's there to carry your pain. So why do we insist on carrying it ourselves? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. See, he came to carry your pain. All of it. Why do we keep trying to carry it ourselves? Why do we say, okay, you take a little bit of it, God, I'll take the rest? No. You look at Jesus and you say, thank you that your job is to carry my pain. Here it is. Let him worry about it. Let him suffer under the weight, because that's what he did on the cross. Number four, pain directs us to the comfort he gives in all of our affliction. That verse in Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions. He's got an answer for anything that we are going through. And he's got comfort for everything that we may face in this life. Does that comfort include healing? 100% yes. But it should direct us to the comfort he gives. If we're in pain, we should go to the one who can comfort that pain. Take a lesson from your kids. When they get hurt, what do? Oh, they cry. They run to mommy and daddy. Right? First thing out of their mouth, it's a cry, but it's usually a cry with, Mama! Daddy! Shouldn't it be ours too? That when we suffer pain, that we run into the arms of our Father and say, pick me up, comfort me, heal me, renew me. Just to know that his comfort is there in all of our afflictions. He's always there. He'll never be absent. He'll never turn away. He'll never shoo you. Oh, you're okay. Number five, pain directs us to share that comfort with others. See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So don't let the devil win in your pain. Tell him he's defeated. It's not going to distract you from God. Tell him that God has already won the victory, and that victory is yours in Jesus' name. Tell him that you're going to live and walk in that victory and in the comfort that God has for you. And then tell him, you know what, devil? All you've done is make me a better weapon in the hands of God. Because now I know how to go out and tell other people how to survive their pain. And then you do that. And God uses that. I think I've told you the story many times. Maybe some of you haven't been here, and I'm not going to go in detail, but you know that our firstborn son was put in the hospital 4 days after he was born with spinal meningitis, and we were told basically that they didn't know if he would make it. And if he made it, then he would be deaf, and I shared this at the wedding, blind and mentally, impaired, so on and so forth. Those were right. Those are the words. I don't make that up. That's not a story that I make up. That really happened to us. So we checked our little baby into the hospital, and we began a journey. But that day, when I walked to the cafeteria, wondering, why do we have to go through this pain? Jesus spoke to my heart and he said, you are going to go through this, but you're going to come out on the other side. And when you do, you will be stronger. So friends, don't let the pain distract you. Let it direct you into the arms of Jesus. You will find comfort. and you will find victory, and you will find strength. Amen? Stand to your feet. Would you do me a favor this morning? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's family, maybe it's just a church family member, but would you join hands with somebody, at least one other person in this place, and just real quick, would you say, I'm thankful for you. Jesus, may the bonds that we have together that are expressed in the holding of hands this morning remind us that you too are holding on to us, that your arm is strong, that you have endured the cross, you have endured all pain, and you are victorious over pain. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ today, if there is pain in their life, God, that they would cry out to you even this very day. For you are the God of all comfort. You are the God who heals all of our diseases and sicknesses. You are the restoration. You are the life. May they cry out to you in their pain. And Lord, would you give us at least one friend that we could share that pain with as well? Make us victorious this morning as we look to the cross and see that you endured pain so that we wouldn't have to. You conquered the enemy so, Lord, that we could be victorious. We turn that pain over to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive your strength. We receive your healing. We receive your victory. And Lord, make us those who would use those experiences to bring comfort to those in the world that are hurting this morning. Go with us as we leave this place in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you as you're dismissed. Don't forget to stop by the table if you want to talk to Joe and Mary about their new small group.